Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shvitat Asor, Perek Bet. This perek discusses the details of the Isser to eat and drink on Yom Kippur. The first half of the perek addresses the parameters of the Isser, including quantities, as well as the exact foods and manner of eating which are included in the prohibition. And the second half focuses on who is covered by the Isser, addressing specifically the cases of sick patients, pregnant women, and children. Halacha Aleph. Ha'ochel b'yom ha'kippurim ma'achalim haru'im la'adam k'chotevet ha'gasa, shi'i pachot mika'beitza bim'at, ha'reza chayav, v'chol ha'ochalim mitzarfin l'shi'ur zeh. V'chein ha'shote mashkin haru'im l'shtiyat adam, k'mlo lugmav shel shote, kol echad v'echad l'fi lugmav, chayav. V'chama malo lugmav, k'dei shi'isalkeim l'tzad echad v'yera'e malei. V'shi'ur zeh ba'adam b'inoni pachot mi'rivi'it. V'chol ha'mashkin mitzarfin l'shi'ur zeh. V'achila u'shtiya ein mitzarfin l'shi'ur echad. One is chayav, either karet or a korban chata, depending on whether the act was done b'mezid or b'shogeg, if he eats on Yom Kippur foods fit for human consumption in the quantity of a kikotevet hagasa, a thick date, which is slightly less than the size of a kibetza. Smaller amounts of different foods can combine to form this minimal quantity. One is similarly chayav if he drinks liquids fit for human consumption in the quantity of melo lugmav, a cheekful. This last amount varies from person to person, depending on the size of each person's cheek, and in an average person, it is a little less than a revit. As in the case of foods, smaller amounts of different liquids can combine to make this quantity, but smaller quantities of eating and drinking, for example, half a kikotevet hagasa together with half a melo lugmav, do not combine to make someone chayav. Note that these quantities are not the standard ones familiar to us from other areas of halacha. In general, an act of achila requires a kazayit, which is far smaller than a kotevet hagasa. A kazayit is about one-third of a kibetza, and we just read that a kotevet hagasa is a little less than a full kibetza. Drinking, in the realm of machalot asurot, usually only carries a punishment if one drinks a revi'it, while a melo lugmav is less than this amount. The Gemara explains that because the Isser of consuming food on Yom Kippur is not formulated in the Torah in terms of eating and drinking per se, but rather as an obligation to be involved in inui, affliction, as we saw in the last perek, the source of Ta'anu et nafshoteichem, the amount which it is forbidden to consume does not follow the usual rules governing eating and drinking in halacha. Rather, it is forbidden to consume a quantity which negates the state of inui. In the case of eating, this requires more than a kazayit, and the minimal quantity to negate inui is kikotevet hagasa. This distinction leads to fascinating debates in the Achronim about the application of general dinim of machalot asurot to eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. For example, in machalot asurot in general, one is chayiv for eating a kazayit even if not a full kazayit makes it into his stomach, for instance if some food remains stuck between his teeth. The Minchat Chinuch suggests that when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, because the Isser is one of negating inui, one is not chayev until a full kikotevet hagasa is actually swallowed and thereby removes the sensation of hunger. This suggestion, as well as the larger shear of kikotevet hagasa relative to the usual kazayit, indicate that the din of inui on Yom Kippur can be more lenient than other isurim of eating in halacha. Are there ways in which it can be more stringent? Yes, as we see when it comes to drinking, where the shear on Yom Kippur is less than the usual amount of revit required in other isurim. Also, the Shakat Aryeh suggests that if one eats food in an abnormal manner, shelo kederech achila, like eating raw animal fat or eating food which is so hot that it burns the throat as it is swallowed, then he would be chayiv on Yom Kippur, even though he is putter in other contexts. When the isur is one of eating per se, then the manner of eating is relevant, not only the result. But on Yom Kippur, when the Isser is negating the feeling of inui, one may be chayiv for getting food into his stomach in any manner at all. In summary, we find that the formulation of the mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur as a commandment of inui may lead to several unique features of this mitzvah relative to other isuri achila, in some respects more lenient and in other respects more stringent. Halacha bet. Echad ha'ochel ochalim ha'mutarin, o she'achal dvarim ha'surim, kegon pigul v'notar, v'tevel unvelot utrefot, v'chelev odam, ho'il va'achal ochalim ha'ruin la'adam, Hareza chayav karet mishum ochel b'yom kippurim. It doesn't matter if the foods one eats on Yom Kippur are in general permitted to eat, or forbidden foods like tevel, untithed produce, nevelot and trefot, chelev and dam. He is chayiv for eating or drinking on Yom Kippur once he consumes food or drink fit for human consumption, in the minimal quantity mentioned in Halacha Aleph for solid food and for drinks. Halacha Gimel. Achal o shata pachot mi shiur ze, eino chayav karet, af al pi shu asur min haTorah b'chatzi shiur, ein chayvin karet ela al kashiur, va'ochel o ashote chatzi shiur, makinoto makat mardut. Eating less than the minimal shear of kikotevet agasa for solid food and melo lugmav of drink is asur midoraita, even though there is no chiyuv karet. This is known as chatzi shiur, which refers to any amount less than the minimal quantity necessary for a punishment, not specifically to half of this amount, despite the use of the word chatzi. There is a machloket amoraim in Masechet Yoma if chatzi shiur in general is asur min haTorah or asur min drabanan, and the Rambam here accepts the view of Rabbi Yochanan that it is asur min haTorah. Nonetheless, because it is less than the shiur necessary for punishment, eating a chatzi shiur carries with it only the lighter punishment of makat mardut. This is an example of how makat mardut can appear even as the punishment for something which is asur midoraita. We saw this phenomenon in the last parak as well, in the context of violating the sha'ar inuyim, like washing and wearing shoes on Yom Kippur, which carries the punishment of makat mardut, despite the understanding of many rishonim and nosei kelim on the Rambam that the sha'ar inuyim are asurim midoraita. Halacha dalet. Achal ma'at v'chazar v'achal v'chazar v'achal im yesh mitchilat achila rishona ad sof achila achorna kedei achilat shalosh beitzim hare elu mitzarfot l'chashiur v'im lav ein mitzarfot shata ma'at v'chazar v'shata v'chazar v'shata im yesh mitchilat shtia rishona ad sof shtia achorna kedei shtiat revi'it mitzarfin l'shiur v'im lav ein mitzarfin. Over the course of how much time must one eat or drink the minimal shear in order to be chayiv on Yom Kippur? For food, this duration, from the beginning of the first act of eating until the end of the last, is at most the time it takes to eat 3 kibbetzim. For drink, it is at most the time it takes to drink a revi'it. Regarding food, the term used in Chazal for this duration is kidei achilat pras, the amount of time it takes to eat half of a loaf. The Rambam considers a loaf to be 6 kibbetzim in size, and therefore a pras is 3 kibbetzim. The Magen Mishnah points out that other Rishonim believe a pras to be 4 kibbetzim. Based on the principle of safek doraita lechumra, Achronim recommend being machmir between these two opinions on Torah matters like Yom Kippur and eating matzah at the Seder. Note that this means following the longer duration when it comes to an Isser, like eating on Yom Kippur, and following the Rambam's shorter duration when it comes to a mitzvah like eating matzah at the Seder. In practice, there is a wide range of opinions as to how long this duration is, from about 2 minutes until about 9 minutes. So on Yom Kippur, we should use the long duration of 9 minutes, and we'll see a practical ramification of this very shortly. Halacha hei. Achal ochalim she'inan ruin l'machal adam, kegon asavim hamarim, o srafim habeushim, o sheshatam mashkin she'inan ruin, kegon tzir o muryas v'chometz chai, afilu achal v'shatam mehen arbei, harei zapatur min hakaret, aval makinato makat mardut. We saw in Halacha Aleph that one is only chayiv for consuming on Yom Kippur food or drink which is fit for human consumption. If someone eats things which are unfit for this, like bitter grass or sap with a bad odor, or if he drinks things like brine or vinegar, then he is pater. This is nonetheless asur midrabanan, and therefore such a person gets the punishment of makat mardut. The next halacha gives specific examples of foods for which one is or isn't chayiv if he eats them on Yom Kippur, and we'll pick up with the second half of Halacha Zayin. Haya savea me'achila gasa she'achal ad she'katz bimzono ve'achal yater al sovo patur kimi she'achal ochalim she'inan ruin l'achila she'af al pi she'ze hayater ra'ui l'ra'ev eino ra'ui l'chol mi she'savea kaze. If one is filled to satiation, to the point where he is revolted by the idea of eating more, as may happen, for instance, at the meal just preceding the beginning of Yom Kippur, and he eats food on Yom Kippur in this state, then he is pater, as this is considered the equivalent of eating foods unfit for human consumption. Even if he eats something which is fit for others to eat, it is not fit for him to eat in the state in which he finds himself. Halacha Chet discusses feeding a chole on Yom Kippur. חולה שיש בו סכנה ששעה לאכול ביום הכיפורים, אף על פי שהרופאים הבקיאים אומרים אינו צריך, מאכילים אותו על פי עצמו עד שיאמר די. אמר החולה איני צריך, והרופא אומר צריך, מאכילים אותו על פיו, והוא שיהיה רופא בקיא. As on Shabbat, the Isurim of Yom Kippur, as well, are overridden for the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore a Chol Shiyesh Bo Sakana may eat and drink on Yom Kippur, if fasting puts his life in jeopardy. But who decides if this is indeed the case? This halacha begins with two principles. First, if an expert doctor determines that the patient needs to eat, then he may eat, even if the patient himself insists that he doesn't need to eat anything. The Shulchan Aruch adds that even if the doctor is unsure whether the patient needs to eat, and the patient insists that he does not, we feed the patient. The Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan both emphasize that whenever the patient is permitted to eat based on the medical evaluation of an expert doctor, he may not be machmir on himself and refuse to eat. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, who was known to allow people to eat on Yom Kippur based on the slightest of medical concerns, would say that he was not being makel about Yom Kippur. Rather, he was being machmir on pikuach nefesh. In similar fashion, we can tell a chole who has permission to eat, but who refuses to do so, that he is not being machmir about Yom Kippur, as he himself may believe, but rather he is being makel about pikuach nefesh. The second principle in this halacha involves the opposite scenario. The expert doctor thinks that the patient does not need to eat, but the patient himself insists that he does. The Gemara applies in this situation the pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yudalid of Lev Yodea Marat Nafsho, the heart knows its own bitterness, and concludes that the patient may eat in this case as well. Is this still true if the expert doctor determines not only that the patient doesn't need food, but that eating may actually cause the situation to deteriorate? The Magen Avraham believes that even in this case, the patient may eat based on his self-evaluation. But the Aruch HaShulchan distinguishes between patients who are able to walk and those who are confined to bed, and he insists that even the Magen Avraham was only referring to patients of the first type. If a patient is confined to bed, claims the Aruch HaShulchan, then even the Magen Avraham would agree that we do not let him eat if an expert doctor believes that this will cause him harm. In all cases where a Chol Shiyesh Bo Sakana is fed, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Psak of the Rosh, that whenever possible, we feed him in small amounts, less than the minimal shear from Halacha Aleph, and we wait in between one act of eating and the next one, the time period of Kedei Achila Pras, so that these small amounts do not join together into one long act of eating more than a full shear. This is known as Achila Lishiurim, and is typically done whenever possible. But the Chidushei HaGriz on this halacha quotes his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who understood that the Shulchan Aruch refers only to someone who is not yet in any danger, and an expert doctor concludes that he may reach a state of danger if he doesn't eat. Because this patient isn't yet a Chol Shiyesh Bo Sakana and can avoid becoming one by eating less than a shear at a time, then he must do so. But once a person is defined as a Chol Shiyesh Bo Sakana, according to Rav Chaim, there is no need for him to eat less than a shear, and the entire Isser of eating and drinking is set aside in this case. We continue now with the second half of Halacha Chet, which deals with cases of disagreement between expert doctors. Rofei Echad Omer Tzarich, V'Acher Omer Eino Tzarich, Machilin Oto. Miktzat HaRofim Omrin Tzarich, U'miktzatan Omrin Eino Tzarich, Holchin Achar HaRov O Achar HaBikiyim. ובלבד שלא יאמר החולה צריך אני, אבל אם אמר צריך אני, מאכילים אותו. לא אמר החולה שהוא צריך, ונחלקו הרופאים, והיו כולם בקיאים, ואלו שאמרו צריך, כמניין שאמרו אינו צריך, מאכילים אותו. If one expert says to feed the patient, and another one says not to, then we feed him. If there are more than one on each side of the debate, then we follow whichever side is more expert. Or, if they are equal in expertise, then we follow whichever side is greater in numbers. If both sides are equal, both in expertise and in numbers, then we feed the patient. These rules for deciding between groups of doctors assume, as before, that the patient himself does not insist that he needs to eat. If he does, then his self-evaluation overrides the conclusions of all the doctors. While the Rambam places greater weight on whichever group of doctors is larger, the Shulchan Aruch believes that we follow the same rules which govern the testimony of witnesses in court, where there is no difference between two and many more than two. So for the Shulchan Aruch, as long as two expert doctors say that the patient needs to eat, we feed him, even if many more than two doctors insist that he does not need to eat. Halacha Tet. Ubara Shehiricha, lo chashin la beozna shiyom ha-kippurim hu. Im nidkara da'ata bezichron ze, mutav. Vim lav, ma'achilin ota ad shetityashev nafsha. V'chein mish achazo bulmos, ma'achilin oto ad shiyoru einav. V'afilu nevelot ushkatzim ma'achilin oto miyad, v'ein mashin oto ad shimtzu dvarim ha-mutarim. If a pregnant woman smells food on Yom Kippur and develops a craving for it, we whisper to her that today is Yom Kippur in the hope that this will cause her craving to abate. If this doesn't work, then we feed her however much of the food is necessary for her craving to subside. If someone is struck by an attack of bulmus, a disease which causes ravenous hunger and dulls the senses, then we feed him until he is able to see properly. In this case, it is critical to feed him as soon as possible, and so we even give him non-kosher foods, like nevelot and insects, which are readily available, rather than wait for kosher foods to be found. The assumption of the first part of this halacha is that, by default, a pregnant woman is obligated to fast on Yom Kippur, and only in the case of a craving may this obligation be overridden. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch rules that pregnant and nursing women must fast the entire day of Yom Kippur. Some contemporary poskim have ruled that nechlishu hadorot, more recent generations are physically weaker than earlier ones, and therefore any pregnant woman nowadays should be allowed, and even required, to eat through the system of achila lishiurim. But others like the Tzitz Eliezer have cast doubt on the validity of such a blanket statement, and believe that evaluations must be made on a case-by-case basis. In the case of a nursing mother, the Bir Halacha rules that she may eat if fasting would cause any danger to the baby she is nursing, and the Chazon Ish is lenient even if fasting may cause the baby just to get sick. We refer the listener to the website www.deracheha.org, where there is a full treatment of the guidelines for pregnant and nursing women, as well as a woman who has recently given birth, regarding fasting on Yom Kippur. The last two halachot of the perek discuss the obligation of children to fast for part or all of Yom Kippur. Halacha Yud. Katan ben teisha shanim uven eser shanim, mechanchin oto sha'ot. Ketzad, haya ragil achol b'shtei sha'ot bayom, machilin oto b'shalosh. Haya ragil b'shalosh, machilin oto b'arba. Lefi koach haben mosifin la'anoto b'sha'ot. Ben achat esrei shana, bein zachar bein nekeva, mit'ane u'mashlim midivrei sofrim, kidei lechancho b'mitzvot. Until age 9, the Rambam writes in the next halacha, a child does not fast at all, as this is a serious health risk. Once children reach the age of 9 or 10, based on the din of chinuch, they should fast part of the day by delaying the meal they usually eat by an hour, 2 hours, or more, depending on the ability of each individual child. Once a child reaches age 11, whether a boy or a girl, he or she is obligated midrabanan based on chinuch to complete the fast. The Ravid rejects this equation between boys and girls, and believes that the rabbinic obligation to complete the fast applies during the last year before adulthood, from age 11 for a girl, and from age 12 for a boy. Halacha Yud Aleph concludes the perek by pointing out that a girl from age 12 and a boy from age 13 are considered full adults in all areas of mitzvot, and therefore must complete the fast. This is true midoraita, when the young adult has two pubic hairs, shtei sarot, which indicate physical maturity, and midrabanan if these are lacking. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the words of the Rambam in these last two halachot about children, but the Rama brings an alternate opinion that no child under age 13 is obligated even midrabanan to complete the fast, and concludes that a weak child who has difficulty fasting may rely on this opinion. The Mishnah Berurah points out that many recent poskim are lenient not to require any child age 11 to complete the fast, nor even any boy age 12, based on the rationale that bizman hazeh yarda chulsha la'olam. A general weakness has descended upon the world in our days, and therefore even a seemingly healthy child may rely on the leniency applied by the Rama to weak or sickly children. But if a child from age 11 up is clearly healthy and capable of completing the fast, then he or she may do so, and even a weaker child should eat later in the day than he usually does, based on the din of chinuch. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.